back.
Another week. You are tired.
Another week. A little tired. But you know, we're going to bring the energy hard for 30 minutes.
We're going to bring the energy hard for 30 minutes. We have a lot to talk about. Welcome to another G30 podcast. I am here with Mike. What's up?
Yo, it's good. I was about to say, man, it looks like we're about to run the D30 podcast.
What does that mean?
The Dodger 30 podcast.
Dodger 30 podcast. Yeah, man.
Dude, that actually might be a nice off-season venture for us.
Yeah, maybe we could do a Dodgers like a...
That would be awesome. That would I'd be there for that.
That would be cool.
Maybe.
We are on the D30 repping. We are on the G30 repping the D30. Well, I don't know. That could mean a lot of things, man.
Yeah.
I didn't say that, though.
No. Summer count.
Summer count. Yeah. So I am on summer break from my work. And Mike, you are on break now with school, too. Timmy's missing today, but that's okay. But I want to know why you're tired, Mike, because you have a sponsorship that should prevent you from being tired. You want to tell us that a little bit?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be considered to be an ambassador for Yerba Mate for Guayaquil. They're an awesome brand. You know, I align myself with their values and, you know, have this cool opportunity where I get to sort of promote this product for free and get to share it with a whole new audience. So
do you have a, if do you, you have guys a haven't right already.
There? I actually do. Enlightenment Yerba Mate. There we go. If you haven't had any Yerba Mate, go pick it up. Or if you see me at the tailgate, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, the G30 podcast brought to you by Yerba Mate.
Yerba. Okay, dude, it's so awesome.
All right. Well, I want to give a quick shout out to Gio from LA Soccer Hub. He had me on yesterday. It's a great show. He's doing something really different and controversial a little bit, I think. He is repping Galaxy Talk on Monday nights and doing LAFC Talk on Tuesday nights, and he is kind of the only one in the game right now doing the both sides thing, and I think it is really awesome. I really enjoy the show. I listen to it frequently, and it was super awesome to be on that show, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out and send y'all to check out Gio if you haven't checked him out yet.
Awesome show. Whenever I think of his show or LA Soccer Hub, I think of the Thanos meme where it's like the blade and it's like perfectly balanced as everything should be. And it's like, it takes a very neutral minded man to be able to run a show in that fashion. So, I mean, yeah, thanks for extending the invite. Wish I was there. I watched it and I was like, ooh, I so would have loved to talk on some of those topics. But yeah, shout out to LA Soccer Hub.
Yeah, LA Soccer Hub. Check them out. Cool, man. So, it's been a minute. We've had a couple of games. I'm looking at our notes right here. I kind of want to take it as a whole. We only have 30 minutes, and I think a lot of it kind of ties together, and I talked about a lot of it last night with Gio, like I said, and I do want to get your thoughts on Vancouver and San Jose. I think Vancouver was a bit of a lucky win. Right, it's one thing to be lucky because you're lucky, and it's one thing to be good and a little bit lucky. Like,
yeah, you know, we weren't in that department.
Like when Zlatan was here, right? A lot of those games we got lucky and we won, and that was it on the genius of Zlatan, right? But it seems to be that we're playing more and more like a unit, and also getting a little bit lucky. And I think that's the case with teams that go a really long way, teams that are good and benefit from a little bit of luck sometimes. And the individual genius of Efrain Alvarez, holy hell, did I not think that would be the case? What do you think about that? What do you think about that Efra banger?
I mean, I felt like it was coming, but I'll be the first one to say where I didn't think he played well. I didn't think he played particularly well for the time that he was on the pitch, but he found himself in a great position, you know, slot home that winner. So, I mean, when we talk about luck and we talk about teams that do inevitably go far, I'd get drawn immediately to that Liverpool team 2 years ago where it's like they were fantastic on paper, but they also benefited from a lot of luck. And I'm able to draw a few parallels between us and sort of those teams where it's like we strike gold in the dead of a game and, you know, we're able to walk out with 3 points. Didn't think we played particularly well, but, you know, we did it.
I think it's a little bit of the case where we did the thing where we were aimless with our possession. Like, we had all of the possession, but we didn't convert. We didn't do anything with it. And it kind of, that win came on the back of a great play I want to talk about a little bit. Sasha to Legette to Chicha for the goal. Then we fall asleep. Then Efra bails us out at the end. But it wasn't a great performance, but I think they used that experience. And I said this last night as well. This team is a little bit like a whack-a-mole game, right? Like you solve one problem and then another problem pops up and then fix that one. And like, we're kind of doing that on our way to being better. And they kind of addressed that aimlessness in the San Jose game when they came out guns blazing. So I want to shift over, to that game because I think it's the more interesting game of the two. What did you make of the San Jose game? Did you adjust your thinking about these two teams at all in this game? What did you see?
I saw two teams that were definitely ready to fight for all 3 points, but one team was very connected, us, and one team was very out of the loop and very disjointed, and that's sort of been the tail of the tape so far for San Jose this season. I feel like we just came in with a better game plan, and I don't know what Almeida has going on over there, but they do not look anywhere near the San Jose that were present last season. And he got a yellow card, which I thought was hilarious. Yeah. He like ran on the field and like kicked the ball and stepped out of his technical area, which I thought was interesting.
Vanny lost his mind on that one. He was like, what are you doing? He looks like a man lost, dude. I don't know. He's a good coach. He coached at Chivas. He was successful. It was supposed to be the GBS Almeida showdown, but, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
One got the boot before. Yeah, I just didn't think SJ was all there. I mean, I feel like we haven't been all there at some points over the season, but there were a lot of individual bright spots to pick out throughout the game.
Right.
And I know I'm going to die on the stand for it, but, I mean, once again, I think Cabral and Granser keep getting better, though he had a golden opportunity.
This is the first time you really see them start to get it. I think so. Cheech scored the same goal in the same exact position, if you go back, two times, once with a cross from the right from Granser, and another time cross from the left from Cabral. And that, but what is more interesting to me, and I like screamed when it happened or almost happened, is when that cross came all the way across from Cabral to Granser and he fluffed
Granser.
But when they get going and they get a little bit more sharp, I think we're starting to see the potential that I know at least you and I have been kind of harping on for the last month or so.
Yeah, no, we're finally starting to be able to see a ceiling a little bit.
Yeah.
Or seeing them able to, you know, not necessarily plateau, but sort of make their way up to a steady state of just good form. And I mean, you know, you can talk about the miss all you want, but I feel like, you know, you remove that from that game and it's really hard to pick apart anything bad besides defensive work rates. And I don't think our wingers should be dropping back and compensating for sloppy defense in the midfield or for the fullbacks.
Yeah. So. And we saw Cabral kind of fall asleep on that end a little bit. Mm-hmm. He didn't like a lot of San Jose's chances came from his side. So we'll see.
But that's a Villafania thing. I won't hold that to him. That's not his job.
I want to give big ups right now to Sega and Nick DePue. These guys, especially Sega, I'm really excited to see if Nick can hold on to his spot or who partners with Sega. I don't think anyone is displacing Williams. That's crazy to me. But to think of like Nick DePue, Sega, William, it's like a shame they all three
they
can't
all can't play.
Maybe they can. Do you think with all these center backs we would go to a three-man back line?
Hey man, I love the three at the back. I love the position of a wing back, and I love what a wing back can do and provide depth as a either fourth attacker or as a fifth defender, you know, with them, you know, pulling forward or dropping back. I don't think we have the personnel to do it, but I would kill to see all three of them get included somehow.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. Yeah, dude. It's really cool, and I'm excited to see what's happening there with the boys in the back. What else do we have from this game? Oh, okay, so Jonah comes back and has a monster game, I think. Monster in a way that he was just that presence we need, right? Mm-hmm. There was nothing crazy there, but I thought the consistency was good. It was interesting that they slotted back Legette to play with him in that CDM role, kind of, or the CM role, whatever they're playing. And Efra get the start over Vasquez. I think we're starting to see the transition as well, like where Vasquez is a depth player, right? He wasn't meant to be the starter here, I don't think. I also think he has
some great mentorship in that role too, you know?
Agreed. Agreed. And I think Greg is what we are fixing what GBS didn't do, right? Everybody's getting individual instruction, and I think it's starting to show. Efrain getting the shout, I loved. And I think it's really interesting because he has been called up to replace Pizarro on the Mexican national team this week. They are playing in LA. Jonah and Efrain are gone. Do you think it hurts us?
Not the slightest. I mean, you know, he did provide us that goal in the Vancouver game, which, you know, I feel like it was needed for him to, you know, boost the confidence before heading to go play with M3. But I don't think it hurts us, bro. Jonah can't play a 90 and Efra scored a goal in the dying embers of a game. You know, it's like, all right, so we'll slap Vasquez and then we'll slap Sasha. Like, at this point in the season, I'm still on this train. I don't think Jonah is anywhere near consistent to be playing for us week in and week out like that, knowing Sasha will give it more than Jonah does.
Not at the DP level. The only right, like that's, we're coming back to this thing now where it's like Jonah for Tam. That was a topic of conversation last night as well. And I was saying that I would love to see him retire here. But on a Tam contract.
And it's like he can't lollygag it here on a DP. So the game isn't going to slow down for Jonah, you know?
Right. Okay, cool. So let's talk about that a little bit. Oh, and Timmy left some notes here for us too, right? He was hoping that Harvey would get the start in place of Jonah for SKC.
Timmy said that?
Yeah, he put it in the notes. He's not here, but he left us some nuggets.
Hey, man.
Yeah, he said he does feel the midfield will hurt without Jonah since the other midfielders don't track back as much except as Harvey. He hopes Harvey gets the start.
Or Saldana. Saldana would be awesome as well.
Yeah, you're kind of you're on the Saldana train. I like him, but you're big on him.
Yeah, I love Saldana. Kid's physical, dude. Yeah. He's I feel like as a upcoming midfield duo, like that would be awesome to have two, like have an eight with Carlos Harvey and then have a six as like a real pivot in Saldana, like in a few years' time if they hold on.
Yeah.
That could be settled.
I think that's great. On this note of the like the guys leaving to the Mexican national team, let's talk about the Gold Cup for a minute because this is leading to a broader question I have for you and something I want to talk about. But do you think we have the depth to withstand all the call-ups from the Gold Cup? Remember, the Jets going to go. Who knows if Araujo goes, right? What do you think?
I feel like it would be sort of hypocritical for us to not say we don't have the depth, as that's something that we've preached all along. We have guys, I mean, France is done. So, I mean, Cabral and Grandisser were never in contention. They never even made the squad. So that was never an issue to worry about even before the Euros started.
Doesn't play in the Gold Cup.
I'm just saying about at an international level, we have guys that are out of favor in their own countries or maybe not there yet. You know, like even before the Euros had started, France, Cabral and Grandisser were number two.
Right.
You have the Gold Cup going on. You have guys that aren't playing. Like Vasquez isn't going to get called up to. He didn't get called up to his squad. Like, yeah, we'll lose Legette to the Gold Cup. We'll lose Araujo to the Gold Cup, but we're not going to lose Kolesjian.
Right.
We're not going to lose Harvey. We're not going to lose Saldana. We're not going to lose Cabral or Grandisser or Zubac. Oh, God. That, like, kind of kills me to be like, oh, shit. Dude, I'm going to love to see our team. Like, and I know that's going to be a weird take, but I'm going to love to see our team without these guys to see what we can do, because I would pay my last dollar to see Kevin Cabral play as just a standalone number nine.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, a lot of people have said he looked out of position there. I'm out on that one. You know, like when they subbed Cheech off in the last game, which is great. I love to see the San Jose game that we were able to get some guys some rest. We took care of that game, right? Like Cheech didn't have to play 90 Cabral, I think people think looked a little bit lost up there, but again, like he hasn't been practicing there as far as we know. So I agree. I think for the first time, I'm not looking to the bench and saying like, oh God, like what are we going to do? There's always question. There's always Vasquez. And that's not the fastest midfield, but I think that
it's an experienced one.
Shit. It's an experienced one. Yeah.
It's what we did in Miami.
Right. It's what we did to Miami. And I think you're right. I think we're going to be okay for the Gold Cup, but that's something to keep an eye on. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody gets their job kicked to the bench too. You know, like if somebody has a super standout performance, like we've said a million times, this is a good problem.
No one's possibly safe.
Yeah. This is a good problem to have. Okay, so I want to talk to you about Chicharito briefly. He has secured another team of the week with Julian as well, which is awesome, and player of the week. The power rankings, everybody, it's like Chicharito, we're the Galaxy. That's always going to be the case, right? They're always going to talk about the star. But I want to ask you what you think about all of the other people doing the dirty work off the ball, because I think that is the missing story in this entire situation right now. We are killing it because Cheech is putting him in the back of the net, right? He's currently matching Zlatan's a goal a game.
One for one. Yeah.
But no one else is talking about the passes Legette and Sasha made, or like the dirty work that's being done by Villafania, right? Or the physicality of Granser and kind of all of these other things that go into these goals that Cheech is making and Cheech's performance. What do you think about that?
I feel like it's sort of like the LA syndrome, you know, it's like you had said, the superstar is always going to catch the headline. Like Villafania is never going to get a headline. It's never was like, oh, Villafania saves the Galaxy unless he makes like a goal line clearance. I feel like the more we continue on the season, the more we'll be recognized as a cohesive unit, which I feel like at this point in time, we are on our way to becoming one unified, sort of gelled together, you know, movement. And I feel like for as long as Cheech keeps scoring, the more he's going to take headlines and the less these other guys are going to fall to the background. But, you know, it's not like they didn't know this heading into the season. You know, you're playing with arguably one of the biggest Mexican players in the world, and you know it's going to be difficult. It's always one of those things. Like Legette was never going to get a headline over Ibra until he came out and cried about him. You know, it's like it happens.
All right, cool. Other Timmy notes here. Cabral gave him mixed emotions as he bagged his first assist, but missed a sitter. He did, but that's sharpness. He's starting to look dangerous. We've talked about the French guys. He's loving the San Jose rivalry. We talked about that. Let's see. We're chugging along here. Let's talk SKC. Sorry. They've been pretty consistent. But they've been a little lucky too. They kind of demolished LAFC over the weekend. LAFC playing a man down nonetheless. But, they are a team that will put away their chances when they get them. The big news out of that game, though, and it was pretty gross. I don't know if you saw it, but Pulido got his foot stepped on and was like ripped open. There's a picture on Instagram.
I did not see that. No, like that's a big loss for them.
You hate to see it. There's like a giant cleat hole in his foot, which is not great. He is out. We have two games in hand. There are big implications for this game. We could jump them. And we could be like a game behind Seattle with a game in hand on Seattle. And we've only lost to those Cascadia teams so far this year. A lot of people aren't really talking about that. This is this a must win? What do you see going into this one?
I feel like without them having Pulido, this is a really big opportunity for the boys to sort of, I mean, like Greg knows the implications to this game. This is a great opportunity for us to jump into second, a position we haven't been in all season, if I'm correct. I don't think we've ever been in second place.
No, and I don't think so. Not since like the first week or whatever.
Yeah, when it didn't matter. I think this is a great time for us to, you know, chase the Sounders' tail. Like, it's not like I'm 110% content with being second best to Seattle, who hasn't lost yet. That is massive. And a Western Conference that I think has looked the best it has in a very long time.
Yep.
in a very long time. So, I mean, it has to be a must-win game. We have to go out there and we have to get it passed as KC. Like, there's no other option, or at least a point.
Yeah.
We have to walk away with something. Walking away empty-handed, it almost throws away the games in hand that we have.
Right. You never want to do that. I don't think we have to win, but it would be incredibly a bummer if we didn't manage to walk away with something. So I agree with you. Timmy says, it's a must win if we really do care about winning the supporter shield or still wanting to be three, but it's always important to want. I'm not sure. Okay, so I think what Timmy's saying is that if we're at all prioritizing the supporter shield, I don't think that's something that's at the front of Greg's mind right now. But yeah, if we lose, we have like a 6-point gap or something ahead of Colorado, we'd still be in third place. I don't think it hurts us to lose, but if we want to gain ground, yeah, it looks like Timmy agrees. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I feel like the supporter shield is something that comes very secondary. I feel like no one's real main objective is to go out and win the supporter shield. It's like you're playing well and it's like, oh shit, we won the supporter shield. Well, unless you're the people across
town. Some people think that that's a really important trophy, especially when you win it unbalanced.
Enough said about them, dude. They're like, what are they? They're like eighth or like ninth?
In the basement.
Below the red line.
All right. So Timmy's score prediction, Galaxy win 3-1, goal from CH14, Cabral, Granser. I want to make a note there. I don't know if Granser is going to be available because it turns out that he had a kid last week and he stayed to play San Jose. Yeah, showing some dedication to the team, but he might head out to be with his kid, rightfully so. I don't know. Who do you slot in there?
Zubac.
Zubac, you think? Again, still?
Why not?
You wouldn't do like a Legette on the wing or Saldani in the middle? No.
Because then Legette fucks up and then it's everyone's after Legette. It's like we've seen Zubac play there.
Yeah.
And as much as I don't want him to play there, just put him there.
Why? I mean, poor Legette, man. Like, the dude cannot get a consistent position.
He can't win, dude. Can't win. And I don't know why. It's so cut and clear. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just shifted him out.
All right, cool. Let's see. Let's clean up here. Score prediction, please.
I'm going to go with a 2-1 win. Zubac gets on the score sheet, and Cabral gets his first goal.
Okay. Wait, you said Cabral and who?
Cabral and Zubac.
Oh, Zubac. You're doubling down on the Zubac.
Dude, yeah.
All right. You made me burp out of surprise. All right. Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I was going to say 2-0, but I think I'm going to go 2-1. Cheech, Cabral gets one, or maybe Legette and Cabral.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about Johnny Russell, the Scot,
on
their team. Or like Jesus. Busio, or what's his name? Daniel Shallowy.
They get some bruisers, dog.
They got some bruisers on that team. I don't know if we'll be able to keep one, keep the clean sheet, but
I'm with you.
Yeah, like a 2-1, 3-1, 1, I don't know. I'd be happy with a 1-1. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm indecisive. All right, man. Well, the only thing left to do really here is kind of revisit we're a third way through the season now. We're hoping to get Daniel Williams back. I think he comes back game after next. He misses this one and the next one. And then I think he's back.
I mention something?
Yeah, please.
How do we feel about Cheech teaming up with Carlos Vela for the All-Star Skill Challenge?
The Skill Challenge, Mike's Corner. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So all
it's I'll ticket weigh, sales. It's ticket sales.
I'll weigh in on the All-Star game after you give me your thought. What do you think? What skill is Cheech going to compete there? What do you think? Crossbar challenge?
No, I was going to say finishing at the back stick 3 yards out.
Okay. Yeah. sliding poacher goals.
Yeah, sliding poacher goals. I don't know what they're going to do. And, like, I don't clip this. Don't get this out. Don't get this wrong. I think it is fun. You know, I think it's fun that, you know, you're going to have two people with, you know, two people under the same nationality and two people that don't play for their national team or not anymore, and one doesn't voluntarily want to play, which is I find interesting. I think it is good for the entirety of Los Angeles as a soccer town or a football town.
Yeah.
I don't like them by any means, but it is a perfect way to market it and sell tickets to a demographic that isn't maybe too hip to it. Because everyone knows Chicharito in Los Angeles. Everyone knows who that is. I can go outside and ask a random person on the street, hey, you know who Cheech is? Yeah. I think it's a good way for them to market it. It feels kind of weird being like, I don't mind it.
Yeah. We'll see if Bob Bradley keeps his job long enough to coach that team. we'll see. So the traditional I have to give credit to Tucker and Ed and Ben over at Riot Squadcast, and Josh Gassman at Corner of the Galaxy has said this a lot. I've heard this for years. And also, just side note, special shout out to the boys at the Riot Squadcast and Ben. They're going through a lot over there, so good vibes and all of that to them.
Heading their way.
Yep, heading their way. But those guys have always said the strategy should be to vote for everybody who is not on your team to make the All-Star game, because, I mean, that's just an extra game. That doesn't mean
anything. You don't want injuries.
You know what I mean? So that's interesting. I don't know. Obviously, they're going to make Chicharito play. Obviously, it'll be really interesting to see what Bob Bradley does with him. There's all kinds of weird, interesting thing. When it came out, I was like, I don't want to go to that. But I agree. Now I kind of want to go to that because
it's like interesting. You know, it's like I don't get it misconstrued. I do not like them.
Yeah.
But I think this is interesting because this is like, all right, let's take the colors off for a second and let's support the league.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like Liga MX. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have the boys on the MLS All-Star team more than I have the boys on a Liga MX team. Like, come on. So I don't know. It's interesting. You have their two prized products going up against their whole league.
Yeah. It's more interesting than it's been in a long time. Like before, it was like maybe Zlatan's the big name, or Nani, or Vela by himself was the big name. But to kind of have both of them on the team and against their countrymen, like, that'll be really interesting.
That storyline is so sick. Like, I don't know how you don't buy it. As a sports fan, I don't know how you don't buy into it.
Yeah, and I think it's just that people don't want an injury, which I agree with. But it'll be cool.
Yeah,
who are we going to see? We're going to see Gignac. We're going to see who else plays down there. Kubo Torres, I Gignac. Think, plays down there.
Maybe Fabio.
Fabio. Antuno.
I don't know. Y'all.
Antuno.
Yeah, y'all that are hip to the Liga MX chat, let's get like some interaction. Like, I have no clue who's killing it down there besides Gignac.
Yeah. And Antuna. And I think Kubo Torres.
That's who I meant. I didn't mean Fabio. I meant Antuna. Because Antuna plays for Chivas. I got them.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, man. I did want to ask you to revisit your season predictions. So, like, we were all very cautious, I think, at the beginning. We're like, we got to make playoffs, but we're going to squeak in. Do you think that's still the case? Where do you think the Galaxy will end up at this point, at the end of the season, on the table?
I think we'll be right outside the top three, if that. But I think we hold on to our spot at the third, like at the third position, pretty consistently. Like you said, we have games in hand, and we are still 6 points above Colorado, right?
And we keep it. You think we keep building?
I think we could hold the three, or if not, we fall right outside the three and finish four. I don't see us anywhere below the red line or fighting for like a sixth spot or a fifth spot. I think we're in the mix for being a hard to beat Western Conference team.
Cool. Yeah, I have revised that. I think I had said at the beginning as well. I think I had said at the beginning of the year we're going to squeak in. But I think it is completely realistic for us to finish fourth. I think we finish fourth.
I think we could do it as well. I mean, I just don't see anything, you know, like, knock on wood, because I don't want to call this. Like, I don't see like our train crashing and coming to a halt.
Yeah.
I feel like with what we built and our rotation, it's great.
Cool, man. All right. Well, that's been another week here. Mike, do you want to hit him with the socials?
yeah, if you guys have listened this far into the G30 podcast, you guys can come check us out on all of our socials, on all of our socials at the G30 podcast. It is the G30 podcast. If you want to come check me out on our Twitter, it is CFC Michael. Should be something.
Cool.
And that'll be it for me today, boys.
All right. And I am CountChalk786 on Twitter. Go drink some more vodka, Mike.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Later.